This is Cedric Clute talking to you on KVGC Radio, bringing you a story about the people of Jackson on Tales of the Mother Lode.
The Dipsy Doodle is a thing to beware. The Dipsy Doodle will get in your hair. And if it gets you, it couldn't be worse. The things you say will come out in reverse. Like you love I and me love you. That's the way the Dipsy Doodle works.
On Tuesday, January 15th, 2019, a quiet, unassuming little man passed away here in Jackson. His name was Johnny Balderrama, and he lived all of his 81 years right here in Amador County. At one time or another, I know you saw him slowly walking up Highway 88 or down Jackson Gate Road, a grocery bag in his hand, listing to one side as if a big wind was about to blow him away. "There's Walkin' Johnny," you'd say to yourself, because someone, sometime, told you that was his name. And then, as he disappeared in your rearview mirror, you'd forget about him until you saw him again a day or a week or a month later. If somebody asked if you knew Walkin' Johnny, you'd reply, "Sure, everyone knows him." But they really don't, and you don't either. Johnny Joseph Balderrama was born on June 20th, 1937. Maybe here in Jackson, maybe in Sacramento, because that's where the nearest hospital was. His mother was Esther Vega, his father was Frank Balderrama, and they got divorced after Johnny was born. Esther got married again to Henry Espinoza, and you could always find them two-stepping at one club or another in Jackson, or swinging and swaying at the Kit Carson Day street dance on Main Street. Maybe that's why Johnny always loved dancing. It was in his blood. Johnny was raised by his grandmother in a Spanish-speaking household here in Jackson, and they were dirt poor. This good lady's name was Carlotta Espinoza. She had 10 children of her own, and she took Johnny in and raised him with her kids, all his aunts and uncles, and although their house at 704 North Main was only 1,200 square feet in size, they had a big yard, and so they were able to raise chickens and goats and grow all their own produce. Carlotta even made and sold tortillas. Because they were so poor, everyone in the family had to work. Johnny swept porches, washed dishes, and did odd jobs around town. His grandmother made him put 50 cents a week in the bank, and he did this for years. But around the time he was 9 or 10 years old, Johnny got sick, really sick. Maybe it was scarlet fever, but whatever it was, he was never the same after that. It was about this time that Johnny began to do some serious walking. Carlotta said she never could keep him home, and that he just walked and walked for miles every day. Johnny managed to stay in school. He went to Jackson Elementary, and somehow he graduated from Jackson High. But book learning didn't interest him. What he really loved, above everything else, was music and airplanes. Swing music like the tunes Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw played, and airplanes like the World War II fighters he looked at in magazines hour after hour. The shark-faced Curtiss P-40 that the Flying Tigers flew, and the fastest fighter in the air, the P-38 Lockheed Lightning that shot down so many Messerschmitts and Zeros during the war. And so, as Johnny walked and dreamed of becoming a pilot, the years went by. Johnny continued to work and live in Jackson. He washed dishes at the Wells Fargo and the Wheel Inn. He worked for Everett Balin's garage service, and he did odd jobs for Herschel Bean at the Model Bakery. I was told that Bean, who was a pilot and knew about Johnny's obsession, gave him a plane that was stored in a huge shed near Sutter Creek. The plane was an old clunker that couldn't fly, but I'm sure it flew for Johnny. I imagine he carefully taught himself how to fly while he was walking back and forth from Jackson up to Martell and over to the hangar. And I know he flew his plane after dark, too, because when he lived at 315 North Main, the other tenants could hear him in his room, lips fluttering noisily, zooming his arms through the air, and flying only he knew where, long into the night. In addition to a plane, Johnny also had a car, but he only drove it on Christmas Day. Truth be told, he never drove very far, because he didn't know how to use a stick shift, and you could hear him grinding the gears across town. By this time, his grandmother, Carlotta, had moved to Sacramento, and Johnny would walk 45 miles to visit her and his extended family. They would play the radio or the phonograph and dance to Wake Up Little Susie or Jitterbug to the Dipsy Doodle for hours on end. Then someone would drive him home. Johnny collected books about aircraft and constructed model planes by the dozens. He liked to refinish furniture, and he cared and asked about people. But he was shy and had a difficult time talking to people he didn't really know, and so he spoke nervously in clipped, quick sentences, all the time not really looking at you. Robert Swenson gave him shoes. George Sausman bought him clothes. And Bart Gilman and the staff at Mellon Fay's Diner helped him out in a dozen ways you cannot possibly imagine. Johnny ate at the diner when he had money, and he ate there when he didn't. He'd come in with an armload of mail and sit at the counter, and Savannah Tate or McKenna Mulford or maybe Jennifer Jurikovich would help him separate his junk mail from all the other stuff, and then, always patient, they'd help him pay the few bills he had. Johnny loved going to the movies, and when videos became available to check out at the library, he would look at the covers, and if he recognized an actor or actress he liked, he'd ask the librarian what the movie was about. Then, if the answer pleased him, he'd check it out. One afternoon, when the librarian was talking to Johnny, he just looked at her. "I was a throwaway," he said. That's all. What did he mean? Who knows? Everyone knew Johnny, but no one really knew him. Walkin' Johnny probably wouldn't have lasted very long in the big city, certainly not 81 years. But he wasn't in the big city. He was here in Amador County in Jackson, where people still care and where they take care of their own. Someone like that quiet, unassuming little man who walked up the highway every day, carrying a grocery bag and listing into the wind. That's it. I think Johnny Balderrama led a full and interesting life of his own choosing, and I can see him now, freer than he's ever been, polishing his brown wing-tipped Oxfords, zipping up his military flight jacket, his Air Force cap with the 50 mission crush on the side of his head, climbing into his silver P-38 Lightning, heading upstairs to Dipsy Doodle with the Angels. So long, Johnny. It's been good to know you.
So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. So long, it's been good to know you. What a long time since I've been home.
This is Cedric Clute asking you to tune in again soon for more Tales of the Motherlode.